Welcome back. It's doctrinal issues. Of course, we have a co-anchor for this program. Our usual brother here, Brother Gabriel Onyejaka.
God bless you, sir.
Yes.
God bless the viewers. Shalom to the Bride of Christ. I greet my pastors, Pastor Westin and Pastor Chris. God bless you, sir.
Yes, and then we have Pastor Westin, Bride of Christ, Church in Jos, Plateau State, North Central Nigeria.
Good evening, viewer. It's good to have me around, and I pray that God will give us a session this evening that will enrich us spiritually and enlighten us scripturally so that we can have a good understanding of the issue we should be discussing today. God bless you.
Pastor Chris, Bride of the Outspoken Word End Time Ministry here in Lagos, or Jos, is also a popular face in Bride Assembly and Bride Television.
Shalom to the Bride of Christ. You are welcome and happy viewing. We expect to digest the word and break the word in the fullness. Shalom.
Yes. Thank you very much. I welcome you all to this program all the way from Jos and Ojo here. We have issues. The purpose of this television station is to enlighten the bride, you know, worldwide, certain issues and that concern the followings of this entire message and Christianity in general. I have personally been faced with questions, both online and live in our live services, and letters I've received, text messages I've received, where I am asked, why do you not have branches? And I think the idea of a branch, they look at us as, in the concept of the denominations, and we keep telling them we don't believe in branches. Pastor Westin, maybe you can expatiate that. What is the church supposed to do to take the message out, the gospel out, now that we are in a stage now of the ministry where we now have electronic evangelism, and by electronic means, through the television, through the internet, people are believing the message. They are saying, come out, and they come out. How do we take care of these ones who are not in Lagos here with us?
Thank you very much for...
From a scriptural perspective.
Thank you very much for this question, and I'm happy that I will be speaking on this issue, because for a long time, it's been a concern to me. I have quietly differed with so many people over the perspective of church is autonomous, we don't believe in branches, don't transfer pastors, every local assembly is independent, and they or she can do what they like, and there will be no control over any minister and all of those things. And I have closely looked at the Word of God, especially studying the book of Acts. I've seen the way they traveled, the way they took the gospel, you know, looking at Paul and Silas and Timothy and Titus and Barnabas and a host of others, the way they went about the gospel, because shortly after chapter 13 of the book of Acts, you know, and when the Holy Spirit says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work which I called them, and they laid that on them, and they set out on a missionary journey, you know. Through chapter 14, they have gone to different places in Spain, in Turkey, in Greece, you know, in Asia, and were just spreading the gospel, and then believers were coming up, and chapter 15, they had issue of doctrine about whether a man should be circumcised or not. You know, they came back, had the Council of Jerusalem, and then a decision was reached you know, a letter was written, and then they went back to read to the church. I think Silas and Paul was sent, and then they went about the churches reading the letter. And then chapter 16, you know, Paul told Silas, let's go back and see our brethren where we are preaching the gospel to them and see how they do. And on they went, you know, through Thessalonica, Philippi, Corinth, and other places right within Turkey, Greece, and then Spain. And a lot of churches were established, you know, and they ordained them elders, the Bible says, and they committed them on the Lord whom they believe, you know. So, and that is the much we have had. But if you go back and look at the letters of Paul, you will discover that even though those churches were established, that is the way they operate and move, you know. Paul especially sent Timothy to Ephesus. If you read the book of 1 Timothy, you know, chapter 1, you will see where he said, I left you in Ephesus. And while he was there, he was assembled not only to a local assembly, but there are many assemblies that were there that Timothy was responsible for, to ordain elders and to insist that certain teaching does not come up in the churches, and that to ensure that what Paul has handed over to them is preserved in those churches, to shut out false teachers and all the rest of it. The same thing he did to Titus when he sent him to Crete, you know, in I think either Turkey or Greece, you know, comprising of many local assemblies. If you read chapter 1, you hear that you should ordain them elders in every churches as I have appointed you. So Titus was not in charge of one local assembly, as you will think. So there is this phrase we don't like to mention, general overseer. Oh, I'm not a general overseer. I'm just an overseer. Yes. What does a general overseer simply mean?
Okay.
A man who is overseeing 1, 2, 3 local assembly. That is who Titus was, and that was what Timothy was. Because there are many local assemblies within Greece or within Turkey that they were in charge. Actually, Paul specifically told Titus that you are there and you ensure that nobody teach any other doctrine, and that you should ordain them. And then he gave him guidelines. When you go to ordain elders in a local assembly, see the qualification you should be looking out for,
yes,
and ordain them elders there. And while he was there, look at the teaching you should be guiding, both the mothers, the elders, and the workers, slaves, and everything. So, and he had been there for a while teaching them. And if you go towards the end of the book of Titus, you see Paul saying that Titus should not come to meet him. He is going to send another brother, either Tychius or another one, who will continue with what Titus was doing there. Yet all those local assembly have ministers there, as it were, local elders. But that because now it's a young ministry, or rather, I wouldn't call it a move, but the planting of churches as at that time have started. And then after so many years, you see that they need to be supervised. There's a supervision that was required so that they can keep them in check, you know, and that was how they were doing. Even Paul, when he sent Timothy to Ephesus, after a while, he withdrew him and sent him to Corinth. After Corinth, he was in Thessalonica. After Thessalonica, he was in Philippi. And there are churches there, and though there were elders there, but yet these brethren were there to ensure that sanity is maintained, orderliness is maintained, and no one single pastor wake up and say, I can do what I like on my own, you know. And this is the major problem we face within the cycle of the end time message. There are recklessness. People wake up and say, oh, I have started my church, so nobody tell me what I... So he can do whatever he likes there, and because there is no control, nobody tells him anything. And if I look at it, if we look at the scripture, that's not how they work.
But if I chip in a little.
Yeah.
These are churches that were planted by Apostle Paul.
That's right. Yes.
So it's only normal that if Apostle Paul planted those churches, he will have control over those churches.
Absolutely. So I am getting there.
Okay, but if you didn't plant the church I am pastoring, why will you want to exercise control over where I am to come and set me right or wrong?
Absolutely. So that was why I started by saying it was Paul that went out and they planted those churches.
Yes.
You see him speaking in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, if I am not an apostle to others, doubtless I am to you.
Yes.
Because you are the fruit of my ministry.
Exactly.
So to bring it home, I know that because of this perception that if I open a church, people will say, oh, I am becoming a bishop. Oh, I am trying to control over people.
Okay.
It is scriptural that a ministry like this, especially our pastor, Pastor Moses Alu, you know, Of course, the church started, it was a local assembly with a pastor, but that he's evangelically minded and he was pushing the gospel, and so many churches are coming up.
Yes.
It is only normal that as these churches are coming up, like Paul would do, he sent ministers out there, go and take care of the church that is there, and that if there is a reason to have elders in that assembly, then ordain them elders. It is not the issue of having control, domineering control over them, but that it's a subversive role under the Holy Spirit to make sure that those churches stay with the vision and the mission of the ministry in line with the word of God. And that was how they worked at that time. And of course, there is no way you as a pastor can wake up and go to an assembly that has been established. They don't know you. They don't know where you come from. And just because you have a tag called apostle, surely you don't have a right over the assembly. But when you know that you have started that ministry, and then that ministry spread and started local assembly somewhere, it is not for you to sit aloof and say, well, they can take care of themselves. They can be, no, that would be wrong. You are to ensure that those assemblies are standing. And over time also, look at Barnabas. Barnabas was not converted by Paul. But you see that Barnabas has corporately worked with Paul. You know, there are people who were ahead of Paul in the Lord, but because they recognize that there is a grace in Paul that God has endowed on him to push the gospel, and then churches were open. So they worked in cooperation, they worked as a team. So he could easily say, okay, brother, please, I would like you to be in so-so place. Ensure that so-so and so-so thing is done and is done rightly. Not because Paul was manipulating Barnabas, but Barnabas had decided to cooperate and to work with him. That is because the Holy Ghost himself said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. And they have worked as a team. So I believe that if we work as a team, as a cooperating ministers, this recklessness and the way people just wake up and then you see issue in a church, nobody can talk to any pastor and all of that is wrong. And the fear of the fact that they will say, why are you controlling another church when you have your own church? They should also ask Paul or ask Timothy or Titus, why are you controlling so many churches that are under you? That means it is scriptural. It is scriptural because it maintains harmony, it maintains sanity, and it makes sure that there is orderliness going on there. But for you to wake up and say, I'm an apostle, so every other base should be obedient to me, no, that's wrong. You can only have a subversive role over churches that your ministry has helped to plant. And once they were planted, you don't leave them and say, okay, I don't care, whatever you do, you do. God will see wholly responsible. So when we see a man who has that grace and have come up like that, and then through his ministry, I saw, churches coming up. I told myself, and I have been discussing with the pastor personally, that I have always looked forward to that kind of setup, whereby I know that we don't walk recklessly. We don't walk the way we like. We should be able to have a certain level of control over ourselves, to the extent that I am in Jos, there are people in Akwanga, there are people in Nasarawa, in different area, there are even other local assembly within Lagos, And so we have a vision and a focus to what we want to establish. If we are correcting doctrine, what kind of doctrine are we correcting? And if we are trying to establish a true ministry, is it an apostolic ministry? And if it is an apostolic ministry, how did they run it? So when we come and see the way they run it, that it should not be too hard for us to run it the way they ran it. And if they ran it and it was successful and God endorsed it, surely he will endorse this one. Because you cannot be able to punish an erring minister if there is nobody that has control over him. So if there is somebody that has control over him, surely he knows that if he misbehaves, that is what Paul told Timothy. He said, those who sin, he said, rebuke them openly. And those are elders, ministers, and before whom he is going to rebuke are the same ministers. It's not the open church Paul was talking to Timothy about.
Two things I will make reference to. Could this be in line with what you are saying? I'm aware that some years back, it was very common that there would be a problem in a particular local assembly, and some ministers from some other local assembly will travel even uninvited and come there to resolve it, sometimes step down the pastor and it will be upheld. Is that the idea you have about?
No. That is completely wrong. An assembly that you didn't plant or you didn't start, you don't have any control over them.
But there's a cooperation between them.
Yes. The cooperation
if there was a cooperation between them,
If there's a corporation, to what extent is the corporation? That is the issue. Like I give example of Barnabas and Paul.
Okay.
And you know, they work together as a team. In that sense, Barnabas and Paul have the same vision, the same understanding. And that is why you see, to such touch, once that person do that thing, it's either the church split, or they scattered, or there will be fight subsequently. But that under a ministry whereby, say, you have established the fellowship and they are coming up, it is natural they all look up to you.
Sure.
And when they look up, they know that if there is an issue, if you come and state what should be done, everybody will be submissive to that. There will be no rebellion, there will be no fight, there will be no scattering of the place or things like that. But once it is not so, and there is no cooperation, then that's the ripple. If I and you are cooperating ministers, you know, and then we are working together, surely and certainly, for the fact that we decided to be working as cooperating ministers, if I had an issue, I will call you. If you had an issue, you will call me. And I know there is an issue that you need to come down and arrest because of your vast knowledge in the Lord and you have been ahead of me ministry-wise. I will only humble myself. So our brother will come down and look at this issue with us. So, but coming uninvited is, you know, nobody invites you. You just come up and you want to usurp authority. I think that's what Peter said. Do not do it.
Now, the other group, are these other groups that go about establishing churches, they oversee, and then, but they never place pastors. They are the only pastor to those churches. It is common in the entire message. They are the pastors, whosoever is there only stands in the gap for them. And then maybe they appoint deacons there, and then also, they collect all the tithes and all the offerings and send to he who came over there and opened the church there.
Again,
how do you fit in that?
Maybe I should come in a little bit. I certainly agree with Pastor
Wesley.
But I think we might be narrow-minded if we look at it only in the perspective of people who planted a church. Certainly, there are people who, for instance, who had the message, established church already, and then they got the message and they know that what they are into is wrong, out of Bible pattern. And for instance, they get to know a church, a local assembly like Bread Assembly, and certainly want to, like what the denomination we call, submit to a grace. There is nothing wrong in submitting to that.
Absolutely.
But because if we say it is only those you planted, we might be making people spiritual orphans, by my words. Because a lot of people are here, even in this local assembly, I was watching the Bright TV, a lot of people are no longer going to church. They are seated in the house having fellowship because of the message they had in Bright Assembly. Mm. And some of them were already established churches. But when they had the message, they made a turn and went back to the original world.
That's right.
Such people, if they come to Bright Assembly, for instance, and say, Pastor, we want you to wade into some certain matters, they are not wrong. We must be able to establish it.
Yeah, they are not
but
wrong.
The person who now they are looking up to should not exercise authority. That is where the Bible is against. You exercise dominion over them. You break, you make. For instance, what you have just said, pastors appointing probably what they call them coordinators and then little pastors.
Deacons.
Or deacons. No, that is not biblical. You appoint a pastor over a local church, or best of all, an elder or elders, so that they in turn govern the church. But to have a usurping, you know, control over them is not biblical. But if that same church decide by knowledge of what they have had to give themselves to certain, you know, people who they believe in, I see no problem with it. But the church cannot be under a control of any man.
I have a question.
Yes.
My question is to Pastor Weston. You made mention of something while you were giving your... You talked about looking at how it was in the book of Acts. Then you said Timothy and Titus were good examples, looking at the way you explained it. Well, you said something about the general overseer. Now, the believers of the end time message, they have this mindset that we do not go the way of the denominationals. And whatever is happening now happened while William Branham was alive. We saw brethren coming, leaving their churches, you know, bringing their church members for his program. They attend his program, they believe his message, they preach what he preaches in their own churches. Now, but you said something about Timothy being a general overseer, and you sounded like Paul. The word general overseer.
Paul.
Timothy.
Timothy.
And Titus. You sounded like the word general overseer, or the way it is seen, is not wrong. I don't know if you could explain.
Yes, you know, that's just a Nimen culture. It's just, you know, if you read the Bible closely, if you read Philippians, it says to the bishops and the deacons, you know, so it's scriptural. Whether pastor, whether elder, whether bishop. Now, I am not particular about who the person call himself. That is not really the concern. The concern is that what is he doing? What is the work that he's doing? So the issue is that can a minister have a supervisory role over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 local assembly? Is this scriptural? Yes. Where is the scripture? Read the book of Titus. Paul told Timothy, say, I left you there in Crete, you know, I think it's somewhere in Turkey or Greece. He said to ordain elders in those churches. Not one, not two, not three. I don't know their number.
Okay.
You know, so that means what he's doing is overseeing. That's why I said, whether you want to say it is general or just merely overseen. But it's not just, if our term of an overseer is somebody who oversees a local church. So a man who is overseeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 churches, what do you call him? So whether it's an offense to say he's a general overseer or he's a bishop there, or he's a, that's not my concern. It's not the name you call him, but that there is at a time, scripturally, that we know that there is a local assembly and somebody has been sent there, and not only one local assembly, about 2, 3, 4, 5 are there, but he was being given instruction what to do in that place, maybe a country or a state than a local assembly. So the brethren around there who are having that village, they look up to that brother to be able to guide them scripturally. Like my brother used the word, it's not to manipulate or control them,
okay,
in the sense of usurping authority over them. You know, what they do is that, okay, it's only what I preach today that everybody must now preach it the next day. That means you have put off the Holy Spirit there, which is wrong. Or that you have put up a program for them, okay, whatever offering people are making, 60% comes to me. So that is not what we are talking about. We are looking at a situation whereby the core teaching and the belief that was handed over to them by the apostle, it is maintained in that place. Anybody that is going out of that teaching, there is a mechanism put in place that he is called to order. Once there is none like that, anybody could just choose to do what he like.
Let me come in here. It's a very interesting area for focus in a time like this, because we are coming to a stage now in the end time message where we are having a ministry like the Bride Assembly that has generated a lot of response all over the world. And so there is a need for us to be very cautious, because we are not used to this. In fact, there is no such ministry yet known, you know, by some of us. Now, in the denomination, this is the setting. In the denomination, somebody is called out by the Jew. We don't have a church at Akwanga, so you go and plant a church there. The name of the church shall be Spoken Word. And then you go plant there, and then he plants the church and hands everything over to he who sent him. Or after he has planted it, as the church stands, he says, that's very good. Now you go to Borno. There's no church there. Boko Haram has finished everything there. So you go there again. You are doing very well. He goes there, labors there, and then hands over the church as a branch of his father in the Lord, his presiding bishop. And then it goes on and on. That is one way they are spreading whatever they believe, because they believe that now I have worked on you, now you go, you know, spread light on you there. And then he remains under that ministry. Now there is another group again now within the inter-message circle. Now this is within the inter-message circle, like I spoke earlier. You go out, the pastor goes out and visits them regularly, establishes churches, and then he is the one pastoring them. Unlike Timothy that was sent to go and ordain elders and set things in order in those churches they had gone and established. This group go there, open those churches and visit them regularly and then plant people to watch over them. Of course, like the first group I said, all the finances and everything, they are sent to the headquarters, and then his allowance is sent to him or salary is sent to him. Because before going, of course, you are almost like in the employ of, you know, the employment of the church. Exactly. Then this second group within the followers, followings of the teachings of William Branham, the end time message, they sit somewhere and then only appoint people to overlook those places for them. Maybe this week he's here. In fact, if the place is nearby, even he goes after the men's service, he goes, hold the other one there, goes like round. And then, like we see happen in some places, you know, all, I know of a church, I was told, you know, around somewhere in Ghana or so, that had up to 7 churches. And then at the end of every Monday morning, all those 7 churches bring all the offerings they collected during the weekend and then bring it, and then it is taken to the presiding pastor who overlooks all these churches. That is one way they believe they are spreading the gospel. Then we now have this other group Pastor Chris is mentioning, where they come and they say they submit themselves. Exactly. Now I have received a lot of letters, and they come to me, or some of them visit me. I have decided to submit to your ministry. And I get very confused, because I don't know what they mean by that. What do they want me to do? When you say you have submitted your ministry to me, I get very confused. So in all these, what is the correct way of doing it in spreading this gospel with opening up churches?
If I may quickly add, before I answer the question, let me digress a bit. Pastor Wilson talked about the main general overseer being a nomenclature. I
strongly oppose that, because it's like giving a dog a bad name to kill it. Once the name is wrong, certainly something must be wrong with the system. Okay. The church of God has a pattern. The church of God has a platform, a type, and prototype. Now, if someone gets up and begin to, you know, say he is or she is, like we find in many places, a general overseer, first and foremost, it's going against scripture. And that must be established for viewers who are watching us.
Definitely.
The name general overseer is unscriptural. We don't believe it. But what Pastor Wilson is talking about is a man who God has raised, for instance, and he plants church planting and church running and governing the church. There are different things that we have to look into critically as it is in our present day. If the gospel must spread, there must be church planting.
Yes.
It must be said.
Sure.
Or else we will be like the apostles who were scattered by God and they had to spread by force. But it is necessary that we plant church. But this idea that is very common is what we are kicking against. The submitting in totality, quotes and of quotes, you submit totality. What we mean by that is you pay tithe, you give the tithe, you pay all the offerings, all the tithe goes to one person who probably is a general overseer or the presiding bishop. It is not scriptural.
we cannot find that in the Bible. And we said, no. The supervisory role he speaks of.
Even the sermons to preach. Even is dictated by
for instance, by funny enough, I have seen where a church is, you know, asked to follow a manual. Then I asked, is the Holy Ghost now monitored? Because in every local church, there is a yearning.
Peculiarity.
There's a spiritual peculiarity. There's a desire which the Holy Ghost must meet. He being the general overseer of the church.
That's right. Exactly.
So if Church A is probably under tension of, you know, environmental violence, the Holy Ghost probably will speak to them in comforting tone.
Comfort them, yes.
A church that is like the Corinth church, that is in fornication and all sort of adultery.
Very carnal.
The Holy Ghost will not speak to them in comforting tone. He will definitely be rebuking. So when you place a manual over them, you have restricted the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
It must be said. Pump and play. Now, going back to the question, I want to believe that this message that is preached by the servant of God, William Branham, is going to spread. It's already spreading. I am a living witness. And what is happening in Bride Assembly, and probably in spoken word by his grace, it is a concern for us who are now in this message.
That's right.
A lot of people call me, and I know they call Pastor too, because I also called him. When it is obviously too much, there is this tendency that people look up to people who they find or see or deem matured in church administration. Not just necessarily because of anointing, not because they actually want somebody. You know, some people have this slavery mentality where you go and submit under somebody and he's giving you stipend and he's helping you. This godfatherism in church. No.
That's right.
But we look at people who I refer to, I call them living ancestors of our spiritual genealogy. I might be caution on that. But you see, when you see somebody who runs grace and you see him, like for instance, I so much, you know, see Pastor Moses in such a way that I have told people, even openly, don't make me see him differently. Because when I had the word from him, from God, from through him, I concurred. Scripturally, I had to go back and then search the scripture. And I found that what he was teaching was in the Bible, even against my, you know, already perceived beliefs. What do I do if I'm a bride of Christ? I submitted to the word. By his preaching, there's this tendency that I look up to him for some kind of advice. Not in the denominational way of submitting to him, and he now runs the church that I pastor. No, that is unscriptural.
That's right.
For instance, there might be issues. For instance, there's a church, if you can remember vividly, where Paul was speaking to the church. He said, "Who are you now for Peter?"
That's Corinthian church.
Or you are for Paul. That's it's a Corinthian church. Mm-hmm. Meaning that Peter had an evangelistic effect on them.
Yes.
Definitely.
Paul too had. And there was a kind of a consortium of, you know, who to follow. But Paul, actually, every true servant of God that is leading people must draw people to Christ.
That's right.
Because Jesus must be our message.
That's right.
Jesus is the word. If any pastor draws people to himself, he is an anti-type of the church. So whatever we do, we must understand that the cliche, the way people say they submit to a grace is actually out of scripture. And I like to say this. What is in the Bible is what our pastor have just said is a supervisory role. Once an issue comes up that the local assembly cannot handle, the pastor or the person who planted the church should be able to advise, should be able to reprove. Like Paul said, he is setting the church in order. That is not to usurp them, but if need be, there is gross indiscipline. And the church decides to step the local pastor for some reasons that have negated Bible, they are free to do that by way of following the scripture. I stand that whatever does not go with scripture cannot be enforced.
Let me understand you. Yes. Just a follow-up.
Yes.
Control supervisory.
Yes.
Where will you place this action of Apostle Paul? Is this control or supervisory? When he heard there was a fornicator in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he told them to put him out of the church.
Now, I think he's supervisory, because if it was not, he would have done it himself. The scripture says he told them to do it.
Yes.
Now, he
then they put him out. Then later on again, he told them that they should have compassion on him and bring him back. Now, will you say that is supervisory or control?
I will still put my point on supervisory. Because what we actually mean by control is an excess use of power. Once it is not a biblical, it is excess, and that is control. And control is witchcraft. And Jesus said, it should not be so.
You have not answered me. Okay. Maybe, because I saw Pastor Weston shaking his head.
I can see that.
Is this control or supervisory?
You know, but I think we are scared from some words.
Of course.
And then the meaning we give them determines whether they are good
or bad.
Or they are bad.
That's correct.
You know, if I said, have control over this place, you know, I am asking you to take charge and to make sure that things are done
in order.
In order.
Yes.
That's what it means. Take supervisory rule over this place. I'm only asking you to make sure that nothing goes out of place. But certain words, we have become scared of them and we don't want them mentioned. Now, to your question directly, there was something I want to say. Do you know that the structure is not the problem? It is the operators of those structures that always have the problem. From Old Testament down to New Testament, the structure was not what God had problem with in the Old Testament. It is the operators of those structures that were becoming weak, they were incapable, that God decided to change it. Those who were in that offices operating them, they were having a porous life. They were unable to carry it out. They were unable. That was why we now have able ministers of the New Testament by the Holy Spirit. But even that itself now, because, you know, we look at, let me use the word, excuse the fact that I may call name. I'm not being derogatory about it. Maybe Redeemed Christian Church of God, or Deeper Life Bible Church, or Equa, or Methodist. You see, the Orthodox setup, no one person that will wake up and tell you I own Methodist.
Yes.
Nobody wake up and tell you I own Anglican Church. Nobody wakes up and tell you I own Equa or the Church of the Brethren. But you see, from the Pentecostal setup, which actually breed this rascality, one person can wake up and tell you I own it. And that is why they turn it to a business. So when you go there, bring certain percentage to me. That is not what we are talking about. And it is because of this abuse that have made us to think that the structure itself is not biblical.
Okay.
We wrote it off completely.
Okay, let's take a break, because I see we're getting more and more nervous now. We are hitting it very hard. And when we come back, we will continue on this very explosive topic. Shalom.